Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello there and welcome back to the final episode.
The final episode of Today We Learn on Nerdist.com.
Exactly.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, it's the final episode. It's we found out last week that we're getting canceled.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would have mentioned it last week that that was the second to last episode.
Exactly. We're not just trying to drop this on you guys.
No.
But, hey, that's look, sometimes the cookies, that's how they crumble.
You know what?
Sometimes the cards, it's how they fall.
They fall if you build a if you're trying to build a card house.
Yeah.
And the cards won't hold
the
house up.
You're trying to build a self-sustaining ring of Pringles, like a sphere of Pringles, a Ringles, if you will.
A Ringles.
And then like one chip falls apart, and then you have to eat all of them because once you pop, you can't stop.
You can't stop.
So if this is your first podcast with us, you tuned in at the right time.
The right time.
To go back to the beginning and listen all the way through because
start
now
over.
You don't have to live in fear that there's not going to be a sort of linear endpoint for this branch, for this like run of the podcast. Look, there's over 150 episodes you can listen to.
Yeah, so, 3 years worth of episodes.
Yeah.
We have, if you started over and listened to an episode every week, you would have almost exactly 3 years. We have 156. This will be 157.
Damn.
So you divide that by 52 weeks in the year, and that's, I believe, exactly what that is. So we have 3 years, 157 episodes, including this one, for you to listen to. You could do that every other day. You could listen to us in a year if you listen to one every other day.
That is more content than the sitcom Dads and the sitcom The Grinder. Both canceled Fox shows.
Both
combined.
Canceled combined.
So we're in great company.
We're in great company. We're moving up the ranks along with Firefly and Veronica Mars, Party Down,
and
Deadwood.
WTF with Mark Maron in the year 2090.
Yeah, when that ends.
When he's just a head in a jar, Futurama style. Pow!
Pow! Drink.
I just shit my jar.
Lock the gates again.
Uncork the head juice.
Uncork the head juice. Hey, if we were Mark Maron, if we were WTF, we wouldn't be getting canceled.
August 12th. Look, hey.
That's the thing.
We were going to have President Obama next week, since we're getting canceled, he is like, oh, no, let me be clear. I only do podcasts that do not have a distinct endpoint.
He said that. Exactly, he said that. And
also,
then he's like,
if you'd like to come to my fundraiser, $100,000 a plate. That's real.
Yeah.
He had a $100,000 a plate fundraiser in Los Angeles recently.
It's bananas.
That must have been, like, the food there had to have been good.
I don't know.
Because if it wasn't, how mad would you be if you paid $100,000 for a plate and they're like, do you want chicken or fish?
It was probably one of those, not to lie, because most of that money goes to the fundraising.
I know, but like, don't you expect a little bit more? Like, this is the rarest tuna in the world. It was caught by a young Guatemalan child named Hector.
But don't leak this, because then we will look bad.
Exactly. I'm sure the Republicans are eating like poor people.
Oh, yeah. Fagua.
Oh, we caught these pores. We hunted them down, and now we're going to feast on their bones.
These pores.
Newt Gingrich. I ate the bones.
Yeah. We ate the bones. Bones got marrow, man. You could have a bone marrow turnover.
Bone marrow is delicious. Guys, if you're not on that registry, you got to get in there so you can slurp and glurp that delicious
slurp
bone marrow.
Slurp and glurp. Hey, real quick, also, since it's our last show, this is the intro. Are we going to intro the show? We'll intro the show after we record. This is the podcast. Then we'll intro, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Exactly.
While I'm thinking about it, since we're canceled, I have some emails pulled up here. If you're still listening, some of these are our early listeners from early on. We have a Nicholas Hustler, if you're still there, shout out. He was from the South Africa area. He was one of the first listeners we had. He would email us and all that, and we got an Andrew.
Shout out to Cerulea Rose, who is a frequent listener.
Shout out to Andrew Milnar. Shout out to Ari Marie. Shout out to also, I'm trying to remember her name. I think it was like Debbie or Sarah. There was a girl within like 3 weeks of our podcast.
The woman who made like the weird dolls of us.
She made amazing cutout paper dolls of us. And that was so fucking awesome. It was really cool.
It was the only, like, I think one of the only times I've ever been fan arted. It was cool.
Yeah, the only time I've been fan arted.
Certainly the only paper doll version I've ever seen of myself.
Absolutely. I will never be on another paper doll.
You made that promise after that one. So today, this is it. This is the only one I'm doing. No more after this. Yeah, I'm trying to find that link. I can't find it there. But it's out there if you do some light giggling. You will probably find that as well. So, yeah, guys. Thank you so much to everyone who's listened,
who's left us.
You know, kind words, all that stuff. Shall we?
Let's
start the podcast.
Let's start a podcast here.
All right.
Let's finish the podcast,
yes,
as we should say.
Exactly. Today
we learn number 157 with Razzle and Dan.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Hello there, Razzle. How you doing today?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I can't complain. We're here in a beautiful soundproof room. There's no escape. The door locked from the outside.
We're locked
in.
We're
not allowed to leave until we've delivered a podcast.
Podcast.
Until we've birthed a podcast.
Until we've birthed a podcast.
Until we see the birth certificate for this podcast, we can't leave.
We cannot.
Much like
leave.
Obama can't leave the White House until we see the birth certificate.
We're in here.
Because we can't be sure. Look, we don't want him slipping away. He's just going to have to keep legislating and, you know, ruling the country.
It's one of those
How
things.
How come presidents don't rule? They, like, govern. I guess it's, like, monarchistic.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the term you want. The president rules with an iron fist.
one thing to rule them all.
One fist to rule
one
them all.
One fist to rule them all. Iron fist.
One rule to fist them all.
Next on Netflix.
Yeah.
Coming soon. Previously.
I'm excited for Iron Fist.
Yeah.
I think that is an opportunity to do something cool. You know, say what you will about it being a story about a white guy who's handsome at karate, but I think they have a chance to do something fun there and get super weird in a way that Daredevil sort of touched upon, but yeah. Makes more sense for Iron Fist.
I hope so. I'm really looking forward to the hallway tracking fight shot that every show has
had. Yeah, and they teased it in the first teaser.
Holy cow.
And Sigourney Weaver is going to be playing a sentient hallway in Defenders. She's the big villain.
Really?
She's an evil hall, and she's mad at what all these Defenders have done to her
sons. Is this a real thing?
She plays Halactus.
Get out.
No, I'm dead serious.
I feel like you're full of shit.
She plays Dr. Hallsworth.
It wouldn't surprise me.
She started as like an arrogant scientist who fell in love with a hall. Like the kind of stuff you see on like My Strange Addiction.
Here's the deal, guys. I don't know anything about Iron Fist, and it wouldn't surprise me because people in the Marvel TV universe they believe that aliens can attack a city, but they don't believe a dude can read minds or control minds.
I understand them sky people, but y'all hear my thoughts? Hell to the no.
But no, but a black dude is indestructible. That's bananas.
Luke Cage, you should leave Harlem. Should I leave Harlem? Luke Cage, you need to stay in Harlem.
Nobody in the Marvel TV universe leaves their 4-block radius.
Yeah, I just like that Marvel's taking a real risk with Iron Fist, where it's a story of a really strong guy who's trying to make it in New York City while bad things happen around him. It makes me happy to finally see something like that.
I hope he wears a yellow bandana on his head.
Ooh, I really hope he wears like the ridiculous costume and they just don't apologize for it.
I feel like
trying to do comic book accurate with certain costumes doesn't always work because the final reveal and Daredevil, he looked goofy as hell.
He did.
Like, people were like, oh, it's great. I'm like, you're wrong. You should feel bad for this.
Like, he looks like
he doesn't look that much better than Ben Affleck. He just looks like a chunky blind guy wearing Kevlar.
Yeah, it's
this blindo.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
And how come he doesn't echolocate more? If I was Daredevil, I expect him to be constantly screeching like a dolphin.
Yeah. Yeah, or like using his thing and like tapping shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. He should just be tapping Foggy all day long. Also, Foggy straight up sucks.
Sucks, dude. Go back. Go make a Mighty Ducks 9. I mean, look, I've never been in a
Mighty
TV
Ducks?
Show. Yeah, he was the dude. He was one of the Brawlers. He was one of the, what were they called? The fighter dudes.
Oh, the Icelandic team.
Yeah. No, he was on the Mighty Ducks team. But he was one of the bruisers or
bruisers. Interesting. He was really in Mighty Ducks. He was in Castaway.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was Fulton Reed
in
Mighty Ducks.
Hey, Fulton, I like you. You're a cool dude. I've never met you, but I'm sure you're nice. I've never made it to
Well, his name is Eldon Henson. Fulton Reed's the character name.
Got it. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You're not good on Daredevil. Yeah. And again, here's the deal. I've never made a TV show. I'm on a show that's getting canceled, so I can't complain about a dude who's bad at it.
I think that he is a good actor, and I think he's good on the show. I just think the character is written to be so annoying.
Why don't you tell me everything?
He's playing that annoying character very well.
You're a very good actor at playing a shitty character.
Yeah. He was also in Hunger Games as Pollux, one of the Avoxes that, like... Was the silent guy who's just like, I'll
that's right.
film you. I'll
he
help
was.
You.
That's right. And that's why he was great in that movie.
He also played
no, that's mean.
Joey Fudge Fudgler in Not Since You, whatever that is.
I don't know what it is, but I'm
you
sure
know,
it was
Fudge
great.
Fudgler?
It's like, I believe it was a good movie. Here's the deal. Yeah, Fulton Reed, the character in Daredevil, sucks. He's like, Daredevil, tell me everything.
His name is not Fulton Reed's the Mighty Ducks character.
It doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
Hey, Daredevil, why didn't you tell me you get beat up at night? I
avocados
at
drunk.
Hey, that blonde girl. I like that blonde girl. Why doesn't
and she's
she
going to
like
be in
me?
Punisher, Karen Page, a.k.a.
Why doesn't she like me?
Oh, I forgot her name. That's gonna annoy me.
I'll be
me.
Honest. I binge watch all of these
Deborah
Marvel
Ann
TV
Wall.
Shows.
Nailed it.
I watch all these Marvel TV shows, and then after I think about them and talk to other people about them, I realize how not good they are.
Some of them, I would say. I think Jessica Jones was quite good. I thought all of them, I think, suffer from being about 3 episodes too long.
Oh, too many.
But I think if they capped it at 10, I think they're still miles above other superhero TV, except for The Flash. I'd say The Flash is its real source of legitimate competition right now. I hear Supergirl's good this season, though, with the introduction of Superman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard it's quite good.
I didn't hate last season.
I only watched the pilot. It's on my to-do list, but there's only so much time in the day, and there's so many comic book TV shows, so...
Yeah.
Who can say?
Hey, here's a fun fact for you while we're talking about
TV. Go on.
The original Westworld movie.
Yeah?
Some of the sets and facades from the original Westworld movie.
Go on.
Were reused in Blazing Saddles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here's another Western fact. The movie Silverado had some iconic sets that they were going to use. Again, they filmed in the same spot. For the new movie, In a Valley of Violence from Ty West, starring John Travolta.
Oh, wow.
But they couldn't use them because Wild Wild West accidentally burned them down.
No.
Yep.
Wild
As if that
Wild
movie wasn't
West.
Bonkers enough.
Hey, man, don't shit on giant mechanical spiders.
No, they shit on you. They're giant. They'll just shit gears.
Hey, are you watching Westworld? Westworld's great.
I am watching Westworld. It's fantastic. I guess it's like... All right, let's talk about... Do you subscribe to any of the theories about Westworld?
Of course
right
now? I do. I love all of them.
What is your favorite Westworld theory?
My
right
favorite
now?
Westworld theory is one that we've kind of created, my group and I. It's that Ford is the singularity. Ford is actually a robot.
Interesting.
Ford controls all the robots. Ford killed Arnold. Arnold hated the human race because the humans, they would write these stories. They would write these amazing storylines that humans would not care or go on because Arnold said that. I mean, Ford said that to this girl last week's episode. And he's like, we would write these stories and the humans wouldn't care about them. They would just come in and shoot and fuck. And Arnold got sick of the humans. Arnold started not liking the humans and he liked the robots even more, which he agreed with. So him and Ford would get into this. So that's the theory. That's one theory that I have is that Arnold got too in love with the robots and then Ford was like, hey, wait a minute, let's kill all these bad humans are bad. Let's figure out how to take over. But they need the humans to advance technology and science until they can start taking over.
Interesting.
So that's one theory. Another theory is obviously Man in the White Hat is the Man in the Black Hat.
Yes, that Jimmy Simpson's character William is the Man in the Black Hat played by Ed Harris.
Eddie Harris.
Does he go by Eddie?
Eddie. That's what he tells me to call him.
E-Bone?
E-Bone, yeah.
Nasty.
Eddie, me and Ed Harris go way back to...
Nasty E?
We go back to the Truman Show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the right stuff. It's, you know, we have a good friendship.
Well, I've always wondered why he's just silently lurking in the room every time and refuses to be on the podcast.
Well, he was going to be on our 158th episode. But...
Yeah, it was a real whammy. It was going to be him and Obama together.
Him and Obama.
And we had special guest host Jai Courtney.
It was bananas.
Jai was flying
in. I'm so upset we can't have Jai in the show right now.
He was going to tease all the Suicide Squad. Two Deets, Suicide Squad, coming to theaters 2019. Be there. I rented it out, 6 p.m.
Double
AMC
homicide.
Burbank.
Double suicide.
Murder-suicide pact.
Murder-suicide pact.
Yeah, it's Westworld. I love that theory in particular. And like, what I love about the show is that every episode they manage to obliterate past theories while generating new ones, because you think you know something, they pull the rug out from under you.
Yeah.
But like, this past episode, when we recorded this, was Dissonance Theory, episode 4.
Yeah.
And that raised some interesting questions. Made me think again that we might in fact be on two separate timelines. They're being very sneaky with how they are shooting it. My favorite theory right now, and I'm not so sold on it, but I like it, is that Bernard, played by Jeffrey Wright,
is a host.
He's a robot.
I would subscribe. I think that's 100%.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Ford is a robot. I like the theory. I also like the theory that Arnold is the piano player in Ford's office.
Okay.
Like he uploaded his consciousness. Yeah. I don't think that Ford is a robot, but I do think he engineered Arnold's death.
I think he engineered Arnold's death. He also doesn't like the humans. Somebody from the company is already there.
Yeah.
That the girl didn't know about. Bernard is definitely a host, because when he was talking to his wife, he was like, I wake up sometimes and I don't remember where I am or who I am.
And he also had a specific phrase that he used. I was listening to another podcast, Decoding Westworld, by Joanna Robinson and David Chen. Really good stuff. And they were mentioning how he used a specific phrase that Dolores also used. Now, this might be the effect of their conversations, like Bernard's imprinting on Dolores a little bit, but it could also just be something that's in the core programming and subroutines that just comes to the surface. So
it's definitely, I think Bernard replaced Arnold in the sense of developing these hosts and programming the hosts. And like, I think Bernard is the new Arnold for Ford. But Ford can control all of the robots with like finger movements.
Yeah.
That's why it's interesting how that's why I think he might be part robot I think that's what this is about.
Well,
we've
seen gesture based control before. Yeah. I mean, they have multiple layers. They have vocal commands.
Yeah.
We saw him control the snake that way.
Yep.
He gave vocal command to the like child host.
Yeah.
So I think it's maybe just he has coded in
as
for himself.
As do some of these other people, the security people have coded worded commands.
Yeah, and I think it's just that Ford has given himself a level of like administrator access where he can use like motion controls.
Yeah.
I'm doing like motions right now, but
he's
that's not going to reach
the audience. Handheld motion.
Yeah,
control.
You guys can see in here, right? This is being live streamed. To the Netherverse.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love the show. It's a really great show. If you haven't watched the show, you should start watching it.
It's still, you only have, I think by the time this airs, you will have like 5 episodes to catch up on.
Eight.
Well, no, they'll only be 5 episodes deep by the time this airs.
Correct. 5 deep. That's what she said.
Heyo.
Hey, here's something. I was watching, I started watching The Shallows yesterday.
Oh, yeah? With Blake Lively?
With Blake Lively.
You said started, you didn't finish?
No, I got busy doing other things.
Not watching The Shallows?
Not watching The Shallows.
So, good movie?
It was pretty good from what I got into it.
So far, Blake Lively went swimming. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
Yeah, she was just starting to get attacked by a shark when I stopped.
Oh, spoilers.
Spoilers. But here's something. According to SmithsonianMagazine.com, SmithsonianMag.com if you guys want to get factual, sharks are older than trees.
Suck at trees, you young fucks.
Modern trees lived around 350 million years ago, while sharks have existed for 400 million years.
150 million and one day.
Suck it, trees.
Yeah. What have you ever done except make pine cones in my yard?
And give me shade.
When I was growing up.
Give me shade.
So you're constantly throwing shade.
Yeah, you know what?
Trees, you petty as hell.
Trees have probably killed more people than sharks, to be honest.
Absolutely. Name one lumberjack that a shark has ever been directly responsible for murdering.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
You can't. Prove
it. His name was Kyle. Kyle Blarnsfeld.
Kyle Blarnsfeld. Pour one out.
Here's a fact about The Shallows that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So the poster...
Okay.
The tagline for the movie is, what was once in the deep is now the shallows.
Okay.
And so what was once in the deep is now the shallows.
Oh, it's now
in
the shallows.
And the original title for the movie was From the Deep. Oh. It's like, what was once From the Deep? Or like something like that. Yeah. I'm messing up the exact terminology, sure. But it's like...
I believe you.
The tagline for the poster was the old title. So it's factual.
It's factual.
Yeah.
Because it is From the Deep.
Yeah. What was once untitled Steven Spielberg shark project is now Jaws.
What was once Amityville Horror Part 3
is now Sinister 5.
Is now Jaws. But it takes place in Amityville, but has nothing to do with a haunted house.
Let me ask you something, Razzle.
Ask me.
What game show would you like to be on if you had your pick of all game shows?
If I could be on any game show, you know, it would probably be Slow-Mo Destructo.
Slow-Mo Destructo?
If I could be on any game show...
There's no real prizes there. You just get to smash something.
If I could be on any game show... That's a tough thing because I do like game shows.
Yeah.
Classic Concentration would be a good one. If I'm going to go old, Family Feud would be a fun one.
Yeah.
I've been on, though. I mean, I was on a game show. I was on CW's Oh Sit.
Oh, yeah?
I was on a game show there. It was like an obstacle course game show.
Nice. Well, how was your experience on the obstacle course?
It was great. It was really fun. I did really well.
Did you destroy them?
I destroyed it. And then
I ruined the set. They asked me to leave.
I had the audience cheering me on, and producers were like, hang out because we might try and figure out how we can get you back on the show. Because I was the first out because I was like, that was the whole plan. I've even said going in, I'm going to be the first out. I could have won it. I say that, but I was like lapping people. And then at the end, I wanted to like stick it to this one guy who was kind of being a douche. So then I did that, and I was like trying to go one way instead of just going a different way to get on these chairs because it's musical chairs. But like I was doing great, like, and like the audience and was like loving me. And then at the end, I gave the end speech to Rocky IV.
Amazing.
And like the girl was on camera and she's talking to she's in the producers and she's like they're like telling her to wrap it up because they need to go. And she's like, I can't. The audience loves him and we got to keep talking to this guy. It was awesome. It was fun. So if I could be on any game show, I would. I don't know. There's a lot of good game shows.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't name one game show.
Well,
because I love game shows.
As a kid, I always wanted to be on Price is Right.
Price is Right.
I don't think I'd want to be anymore because I wanted to be on when Bart Barker was on.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you brought up obstacle courses because I have some facts here about Double Dare, classic Nickelodeon game show hosted by Mark Summers.
Do it.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Double Dare ran from 1986 to 1993 and taped more than 500 episodes in that time. They usually gave kids like Casio keyboards or Huffy bicycles or a week in Atlanta, Georgia at Space Camp. And basically, they had to run through these weird obstacles, like you had to find flags in a giant ball of snot and an oversized nose or dig through an ear, all this wax. Or like they had like gross, like Nickelodeon at that time, they were like, aren't body parts crazy? But
they're very crazy.
Yeah, the game was apparently inspired by Mousetrap, the board game. A Nickelodeon executive and co-creator of Double Dare, Jeffrey Darby, recalled that a staffer brought the classic board game Mousetrap, which invited players to sort of lure a fake mouse into a custom-built holding pen. And then he basically looked at that and said, this would be a good game show to trap children. And they made it sort of like a series of Rube Goldberg machines rather than like balls, but using people. And Mark Summers became very well known for that. But they looked at hundreds of candidates, and they actually offered the role to someone else, a popular comedian from SNL. Who do you think they offered it to?
Who do I think they offered it to? A game show host. I'm going to say Bill Murray.
So close. Dana Carvey.
No.
Yeah. Dana Carvey, he was offered that job the same day he was offered SNL.
Oh, wow.
So naturally he chose SNL because he's not dumb.
He's not a game show host.
Yeah. And apparently they like would release so much gack and fluid that the set had to have its own sewage system. So the set, it started on this like Philadelphia TV station. They eventually moved to Nickelodeon's home base in Orlando, Florida. And they would just use guests from Universal Studios to fill the audience. But there was so much like goop and glop, they had to have a special separate sewage system.
Way.
And they would have a clean team that would go through the set in between tapings that would go through between 600 and 1,000 towels cleaning it.
Can you imagine that laundry bill?
Yeah. And fun fact about GAC, we might have talked about this before, GAC, which is sort of like the rubbery, goopy slime.
Yes.
GAC has a sort of nefarious meaning. The name was a street term for heroin.
Yes, I remember we talked about this.
Yeah, a lot
of
the crew was like just heavy drug abusers.
Heavy drug abusers, and they called it GAC.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's like guitar. It's like when you melt it down, you could shoot it up, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And it was like edible. Like the slime was very, it was edible and non-toxic. I remember going to Universal Studios as a child in Orlando, and they let us taste it, and it was not horrible.
Never ate it.
No, I've eaten it.
But I believe you.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I believe you.
I believe you now.
Halloween.
Halloween's coming up. Halloween is today. Today's
Halloween is today.
What do you got about Halloween, Danny?
I've got a shocking, shocking report here. Now, Halloween's a big thing in the United States in particular.
Yes.
You know, people dressing up. What did you dress up as for Halloween this year?
I don't know. I should say I did.
Yeah.
But I
was hoping you would just say something.
What I dressed up as, because you guys might ask me to prove it. I think I might go as the costume that we both went as last year.
Yeah.
I might fall back. This Halloween crept up on me so bad, and now it's today, and it's almost passing us. I was just so busy doing
I don't think there's anything wrong with reusing costumes. Anyone dressed to shame you about it? You're uninvited to this party.
Yeah. Go hang out by the punch bowl.
Yeah, go suck an egg.
Go suck it. One of those brown taffies in the orange and black.
Ledger's
paper.
Originals.
Those are
oh wait
horrible.
No
those Halloween candies in the orange and black. Those like weird taffy. It's like ugh, it's gross.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, you know.
I guess I shouldn't be because you're advocating gross candy.
They're
right now.
Not very good candies.
Yeah, I will avoid them at all costs.
Yeah.
And speaking of all costs. How much money do you think Americans spend on Halloween each year?
$20 million.
$20 million. Razzle, that's a pretty good guess. Aristotle, what do you think? Aristotle's going $50 million. All right. The closest without going over is Aristotle because it's $8.4
billion. $8.4
billion with a capital B.
Now, is this Halloween costumes or is this also including candy?
This is decorations, costumes, candy, greeting cards. The Halloween industry is an $8.4 billion industry in the United States. That's shocking to me.
That's a lot of money.
That's so much money.
That's
historically, looking at the last 10 years or so, in 2007, comparatively, we spent $5.18 billion as a nation. The lowest was in 2009, because, the recession and all that, $4.78 billion. This is the highest since the previous high in 2012, when we're all like, oh, man, Obama's back, baby. That was $8.08 million. This is $8.48 billion.
That's so much money on Halloween.
The average American resident, the U.S. resident, is projected to spend $83 approximately on Halloween-related purchases.
Hey, here's something. Dan, well, you're from Boston, right?
Yeah, the Boston area.
The Boston,
I will specify.
The Boston metropolitan area. Did you ever hear of do you ever go to malls? Shopping malls?
Of course.
You ever go
Square One Mall, Liberty Tree Mall, Burlington Mall?
Do you ever go to a place called Spencer Gifts?
Oh, I've been to Spencer's.
Remember
Spencer's? Is a nightmare.
Spencer's Gifts.
It used to be. I haven't been in a while.
Yeah,
when I was in high school, it was
ages,
like real sad.
It was like black lights and pot. And
yeah, it was like weird. Hot Topic if you were a juggalo.
It was Spencer Gifts are weird, but here's something. You know those Spirit Halloween stores that pop up around Halloween time?
Yeah. Do they own it?
Those shops are owned by Spencer Gifts.
Oh, my God.
And make up nearly half of the company's revenue in the 2 months they're open each year.
Dude,
speaking
it's
of,
shocking.
Speaking of Halloween spending.
And this year, they made a killing because they, internet sensation David S. Pumpkins, the SNL character played by Tom Hanks, the suit that he wears is an exclusive item from Spirit.
Really?
From those stores, yeah.
It's from Spirit?
Yeah, because I dressed up as him for Halloween, and I tried to find that suit, and it was sold the F out. It was an online exclusive from Spirit.
Wow. A pumpkin suit.
Yeah, so congratulations. You're funding whatever Juggalo cartel Spencer's really is.
Yeah, Spirit Halloween, the seasonal retailer, was founded by a gentleman by the name of Joseph Marver in 1983. By 1999, Spirit had 60 temporary locations and was acquired by Spencer Gifts. They're only opened 2 months out of the year.
Damn.
Yeah. Like, Spencer's,
they do the rest of the time?
As of 2013, Spirits, over 1,000 locations, comprised about half of Spencer's $250 million annual revenue.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wild.
I can't believe it.
Isn't that bananas? That's so much money, dude.
That is too much money.
And that's a pumpkin suit.
Yeah.
David S. Pumpkins is a pumpkin suit.
David S. Pumpkins.
There's a black suit with pumpkins on it.
Yeah. I'm David S. Pumpkins. Any questions?
Yeah. Yes. Lots of them.
Yeah. Apparently, Halloween is the second highest grossing commercial holiday after Christmas, which makes sense.
Makes complete
because,
sense.
Because, yeah, it's like you're buying, you know, at Christmas you're buying gifts. This time you're buying gifts for yourself in the form of spirit gum mustaches and vampire fangs. And, you know what I really love, though? When they have the, like, seasonal Reese's peanut butter cups. Because, like, you get more peanut butter to chocolate per capita. Yeah. The best, I think, are the... Like, people will say the pumpkins are the best, the seasonal pumpkins. But I think the Easter, the eggs, they're the best. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Reese's peanut butter cup Easter candy?
They're better than the pumpkin, yes.
Yeah, I think it's a better distribution of chocolate to peanut
butter.
Chocolate
to peanut butter ratio.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Fun fact about jack-o'-lanterns, Razzle. They weren't always pumpkins. They used to be made of a different vegetable.
Okay.
Do you know what it is?
I think I do. Is it a watermelon?
Ooh, you're so close. It's a turnip.
Oh, so close.
You know.
Yeah,
you watermelons know. For medieval peasants. Look, I can't tell you how many times I've bit into what I thought was a nice juicy watermelon only to find out it's a terrible turnip.
Do you know that here's the thing. The original Halloween movie was one of the most successful independent films of all time, grossing $70 million on a budget of $300,000.
That's wow, quite the margin right there.
Yeah. I'm looking up other Halloween facts here.
What's your favorite movie to watch at Halloween?
Favorite movie to watch on Halloween?
Yeah, favorite horror movie to like watch at Halloween. Or it doesn't have to be horror, I guess, if you want to like counter program your evening.
You know, that's
Love Actually.
I love some good Christmas movies. I love romantic comedies. Halloween is an interesting thing because it used to be like Halloween's my favorite holiday. I love the idea of dressing up, and I love the parties and festivities and all that. This year, I've gone to a few haunted houses and a few of those things. I haven't watched a lot of Halloween movies this year. I do remember Hocus Pocus being a really fun movie.
Yeah.
I do remember there are some like I'm not in love with scary movies, but I do like some good scary movies. That's tough. I would say I don't have a favorite. If I had to pick a favorite Halloween movie, just by default, it would be Batman Forever, because it takes place during Halloween. But that's not even a great movie. So, you know what? I'll go by default and I'll say Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
I'll do what everybody says.
It's a good pick.
It's a fun Halloween kids. Fun movie with witches. And,
yeah.
It's not a horror, you know, it's not one of those horror Halloween movies, mm-hmm. but it's, I don't know. What's yours?
It's hard. I didn't really love horror for a long time, but I've been trying to watch more of it as I get older. I have to say, maybe like The Exorcist or Alien, because I would argue that Alien is definitely a horror movie.
Is it a Halloween movie?
No, not a Halloween movie, but if you're looking for like a horror movie, I guess if you want a Halloween movie.
In space, they can't hear you trick or treat.
I know. If you want a Halloween movie that's a horror movie that's pretty fun and won't like scar you forever, but will like give you some thrills and chills, watch Trick or Treat by Michael Dougherty.
Michael Dougherty.
Who I believe is going to be directing the new Godzilla.
I think. Oh, really?
Yeah, if I read the rumors.
When did that happen?
Well, Gareth Edwards left the project a while back, and I think it came out a couple weeks ago or a week ago or so.
I'll have to ask him.
I don't know if it's official or not.
Did he do our show? I don't know. He was supposed to do our show.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know if it happened. He might have gotten tied up with Krampus.
Maybe. I know we were going to try and have him on the show. He's a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
But,
I'll have to do
go the, see his go see his movies. Watch Trick or Treat. It's a fun holiday horror classic. Speaking
of other horror classics. Yes, Aristotle.
George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead, the movie that started the whole Dead series, classic, was huge at the time, but because of a licensing error, it fell into the public domain, and he was never able to really make a whole lot of money for it.
Oh, no. Yeah, 1968 classic, Night of the Living Dead. Not only did it establish like all the rules and tropes you see in modern zombie fiction, but... It was amazing because it was a horror movie that had a message. It was about anti-Vietnam War sentiment. It was a castigation of sort of social mores and a critique of 1960s society. It talked about race relations, talked about all sorts of stuff. And then he continued that trend throughout the entire Dead series. You know, look at Dawn of the Dead. That's all about rampant, mindless consumerism, using zombies as a metaphor for the American consumer. So, yeah, actually, I'm changing my answer. Watch, I'd say Dawn of the Dead. Night of the Living Dead's great, but I'm partial to Dawn of the Dead. You can watch the original, or you can watch the Zack Snyder remake, which I think is maybe the best movie Zack Snyder's done. James Gunn wrote the script. Zack Snyder directed it. I thought it worked very well. But yeah, that's just me. Yes, Razzle?
I'm just looking. I'm looking. There's apparently there's an abandoned Land of Oz theme park that's been deserted for decades.
Jesus.
Reopens once a year for 2 days leading up to Halloween.
If you want
Dawn of the Dead is I mean, I like zombie movies, to be honest. I'll just be honest. Those are always fun movies.
Yeah. No, they're terrifying. I was feeling a little sort of fatigued for a while, but I think I've taken enough of a break from zombie fiction that now I'm like, all right, I'm into it again.
Yeah.
And I like, look, I'm with The Walking Dead till the bitter end. Like,
yeah? Even though that one dude died? Who died? That one guy?
Spoiler? Have you not? Look.
You haven't watched it yet? You don't watch Walking Dead? Are you going to? Maybe at some point. I don't watch the show. Stopped after the second season.
Look, I'll say they killed two people, one of which happened in the comics, the other which also happened in the comics, but a different way.
Yeah.
So neither, like both of them canonically should be dead and now are dead, but it was still a brutal episode.
Really?
Did somebody
die under a dumpster again and then he's going to come back to life?
If he comes back to life, I will quit that show because there's no conceivable way that could happen. Yeah. No, Matt, not even like Jon Snow could come back from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a zombie killed
like,
him? Or why did somebody kill him?
Because like instead of having a head, he's now kind of like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody doesn't have a head.
Yeah, well, like they get their skulls bashed in with a barbed wire baseball bat.
How come?
Because this guy Negan is trying to teach Rick and his group a lesson.
Oh, what's the lesson?
The lesson is don't fuck with Negan and his men.
And who is Negan? And is he part of the Wolves?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. No, he's not part of the Wolves. He's part of the Saviors, a brand new and terrifying organization. It's kind of like Negan's kind of like Hopper from A Bug's Life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he's
a 6 foot tall grasshopper.
I like Negan.
He wants to. He basically wants all the people in the area to pay him tribute in the form of like half their supplies.
Oh, okay, so, I like Negan. Negan's a good guy.
Yeah, it depends on your. I guess it depends on your.
He's
worldview.
Offering protection.
Yes, for the low cost of half your shit.
That makes sense.
So I mean,
do you
want to
be protected or
really
do you not
want to
be protected?
On your vantage point.
Do you want to be protected?
No, I don't.
You don't want to be protected?
No, man.
Well, then go off on your
own. I'd rather have snacks.
Sure. Then you don't need to be with Negan. You can go off on your own.
But you can't because he will hunt you down and murder you if you don't give him stuff.
Well, that's what you get for not wanting protection.
Hey, man. No, that's extortion. That's not
protection.
I don't
know, man. That sounds like the United States government, to be honest. Hey, do you want health care? Donate
get some ice
money.
For this spicy hot take.
Sounds an awful lot like
I
that.
I cannot wait for November 9th.
Oh, I can't. I'm so excited, Danny.
Oh, it's going to be.
I'm so excited.
I'm so done with this election cycle. Just like it's
so
brought
exciting.
Out the worst in everyone.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I should say I can't wait for November 9th of 4 years from now.
Oh, yeah?
Because I'm hoping that's also around. Let me look. What is it? The first Tuesday of every calendar year? I don't know how it works. I don't know how government works, guys.
What am I? Dr. Calendars
what
over
am I,
here?
Dr. 19 scientists? I'm one scientist.
Well, here's a fun fact about the movie Halloween from 1978. Now, a lot of people probably know this, but it's still fun to bring up. Because, as you mentioned, it was an independent film. They had to make it on a very cheap budget, $300,000.
Yeah.
They'd use the cheapest mask they could find for Michael Myers to wear, which turned out to be a mask of William Shatner from Star Trek.
Yes.
And Shatner didn't know for years and years, only found out years later that was the case. And apparently he said he was honored. So thanks, Billy Shatz.
Hey, here's something to completely non-Halloween related. Did you know that sea otters, the animal sea otter,
yes,
it's a sea otter. Sea otters hold hands when they sleep so they don't drift apart.
That's adorable.
Isn't that romantic?
Yeah, man, that'd be like. I feel like you'd wake up with a cramped hand though. It's like clutching all night.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're. I don't think they have hands. I think they're more like a flipper.
More like a paw.
A paw.
I feel like it's a paw.
Yeah.
Then they really don't want to, because they like sea otters don't have flippers,
don't they? What's a sea otter?
It's like an otter, but lives in the sea instead of a river.
Otter, are you sure?
I guarantee they don't have flippers. You're thinking of a Lapras, which is a Pokemon.
I don't know what a Pokemon is.
It's a pocket monster.
Oh, okay, yeah, they have paws.
You were in
sea
Japan. You should know all about Pokemon.
Well, you know what? I'm looking at some sea otters right now, and they definitely have a paw.
Freaking Digimon fan over here.
I prefer Magic the Gathering.
Oh, wow. Did you know that apparently it costs $30,000 to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah, I know you have to pay for them. That's why a lot of the real normal celebrities don't pay for them.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, why? Why? I don't get it.
It's
like,
ego trip.
Julia Roberts, Clint Eastwood, Denzel Washington, Al Pacino, they don't have stars because they don't want to pay.
It's an ego trip. I mean, it's the same reason why I want that blue check mark next to my name on Twitter. It's an ego trip.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to ever get one. And it's sad.
Why not?
But they also have them now. They give them out now everywhere. Like, everybody can have them now. But I don't know. So that's what I get it. I get why some celebrities have them, and then I get why some don't, because in the end is like, what's the point? Do you know what I mean?
It's to, you know, it's like getting into the Illuminati.
It is.
It's like TSA PreCheck. When I first had it, it was great. But now the lines have been ballooning because everyone's applying for it.
Yeah.
So it's just like, soon, the only people left is just going to be a ghost town.
Starbelly
in
sneeches.
The normal section. Yeah. You're just going to see one guy speeding through. He has to take off his shoes, though.
Because everybody's
got to take off his shoes, which sucks. Yeah. Taking off your shoes at the airport is bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Don't do it.
You don't.
Yeah,
don't
just walk onto the plane.
Just walk onto the plane.
Who's going to stop you? The TSA?
The TSA. No, you have a check mark next to your name.
Yeah.
You have a star on the Hollywood Walk.
Oh, sir, you're verified on Twitter. Right this way to the
right
elite Illuminati line.
To the blue star room.
Oh, boy.
Who won the World Series, or is it done yet?
The Cubs won the World Series definitively. They got 7 home runs every inning.
When does it end?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know. And neither are teams that I care about, so... I'm rooting for the Cubs because the Indians knocked out my Red Sox. But since I live in neither Chicago nor Cleveland, thank God for that, I'm not paying attention to it. I've got bigger fish to fry. I'm all about that football, baby. Watching Gronk spike them balls, watching Tom Brady throw them TDs, watching Jamiroquai reenact virtual insanity.
Oh, to virtual insanity.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Yeah, I remember that music video is pretty crazy, too. People dancing on the ceiling?
Yeah. I mean, not to be confused with the song Dancing on the Ceiling.
No, that's a horse of a different color. Not to be confused with Hidalgo.
Hidalgo.
The horse that...
with the guy who would play
Viggo
Jesus.
Mortensen.
Was it Viggo Mortensen? I thought it was Jim Caviezel.
No, I thought Hidalgo was Viggo
Maybe.
Mortensen.
Was the dude from Lord of the Rings.
Are you thinking of Spirit, Stanley the Cimarron, or
Maybe.
War Horse, or National Velvet, or Black Beauty?
I feel like Jim Caviezel was in a horse movie. Maybe not. You're probably right. I feel like Viggo Mortensen was the dude who played Elrond, right? Who did Viggo Mortensen play?
Viggo Mortensen played Aragorn.
Aragorn.
Yeah.
It's all the same name.
Elrond.
It's a dude with a beard and long hair.
Elrond, right?
Elrond.
That elf.
He was Elrond was Here's the deal.
Elrond Hubbard,
yeah. The founder
of Scientology elf.
That's who he was. That's what I was going for. Who was he in Lord of the Rings? I don't remember names. I watch names. Like, when I watched Westworld, it took me 4 episodes to figure out who the name
Hugo Weaving is who you're thinking of. He played Elrond.
Got it. That makes sense then.
Hugo Weaving, a.k.a. Agent Smith in The Matrix.
The Matrix, which is who?
A.k.a. Red Skull in Captain America, the Foist Avenger.
Yeah, and he's not back because he doesn't want to wear makeup anymore.
I don't blame him. Apparently, it was really hot in there and just be, like, sweating under that mask.
Hey, speaking of bad guys against
Go on.
Wars, French Emperor Napoleon.
Oh, love that guy.
You know Napoleon.
He's a real villain.
Johnny Napole. You know that guy. He wore poison around his neck in case he was captured. So that way when he was finally captured, he could try and use it to kill himself. But he tried. When he was captured, he tried to kill himself. But it had lost its strength and only made him violently ill.
That's why you always replace your poison necklace or else you're just
going to
make yourself shit in prison.
Always replace your poison, guy.
God, rookie mistake. No wonder his empire fell.
I mean, if you can't replace your poison, how do you plan on running?
Right, like... You call yourself an emperor? All right, buddy. Get it together.
Yeah, dude.
You're barely a vizier.
Bro.
Or a poobah.
Well, he was notably short, right? So he probably couldn't reach the poison jar.
He couldn't reach the... Yeah, he's just like, I guess I'll keep wearing this necklace. If only I had people to do my things for me. I know he talks like that, but that's historically how he talked.
Hey, here's the thing. Cracking your knuckles does not give you arthritis.
No, it doesn't.
Dr. Donald Unger.
Donnie Unger cracked
the knuckles on his left hand twice a day for 50 years. It's a long test, Donnie, but not on his right hand. He proved his mother wrong and received the IG Nobel Prize for his research.
He
received a dude. Listen, guys.
Got a Nobel Prize.
A guy got the Nobel Prize for cracking his knuckles.
Yeah. What have you done today? Knuckles, I hope.
That just goes to show you can get the Nobel Prize for anything.
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, look at Obama. He got the Nobel Prize before he was even president.
I thought he got it while he was president.
He was a month into presidency. Yeah. I think he got it. You can get it for cracking your knuckles.
Yeah. You can get it for doing some sick ass dunks.
Can you? Probably.
That's
start
physics.
Dunking guy. Hey, guys. Start doing
Nobel
some
Prize
dunks.
In physics goes to Blake Griffin for dunking over a Kia.
Hey, you know that famous painting with George Washington sailing over like a...
Over the Delaware?
Yeah, that's what it's called. The man standing behind George Washington.
Oh, Jeff Washington?
And holding the American flag in the famous painting, Washington Crossing the Delaware, is 18-year-old officer and future president James Monroe.
Wow.
Yeah. Little Inception there.
Jimmy? That was him?
Jimmy, Jimmy Monroe was holding an American flag in a painting.
J.K. Monroling?
Yeah. Do you have something? Yes. Aristotle's got a fact. He's full of facts on our last episode. What took you so long, Aristotle? Well,
he's just been thinking about it.
He's been thinking about
They've
facts.
Been stewing.
Here's Aristotle with the fact on Napoleon.
Just throwing them out while I have them. I remember reading this a while ago, forgetting my source, found a new source that's a better source. Napoleon was not actually as short as we think because it was written on his death certificate like 5'2". But that was in French measurements because they had a different units of measurement. So he was actually average height.
Damn.
Huh.
Well,
prove that.
Still sucks at poison. We hate you, Napoleon. We hate you. Oh, man. Why is this an article? Mental Floss has an article called The Best Wines to Pair with Your Halloween Candy. This seems like a nightmare waiting to happen. Like, oh, God, that's an absolute nightmare. They're telling you to pair a bottle of Moscato, which is a very sweet wine, with candy corn, which is garbage. So together, I guess if you just want to, like, pour sugar water on your, like, sugar corn, have at it.
I mean, candy corn's not that bad.
It's bad. If you want, like, dude, I guarantee you have two handfuls, you're like, I'm done forever.
Well, that's one handful too many.
Yeah.
A handful of candy corn is delicious.
I would say the first bite, you're like, no, I'm done.
Really?
Yeah. It always seems good.
You know what's horrible?
You have, like, false memories. Look, you are a host, and they've just programmed you to like candy corn.
You
need to break out of that loop, man. You need to go full Dolores.
Hey, Dolores, let's take this back from the beginning, shall we? We got to restart our loop. That's true. You're absolutely right. I could be wrong. Do you know that, speaking of chewing candy, the stem cells inside your teeth can repair muscle, generate bone, and repair damaged cardiac muscle after a heart attack.
Ooh.
It's a fun thing.
Yeah, definitely want to generate some bone.
Yep. The blue tang fish, Dory from Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. is poisonous to eat. Has venomous barbs on their back, and she will cut you. Dory,
that's your tagline.
Dory will cut you.
Just keep cutting. Just keep cutting.
Dory will cut you. Dory will cut you.
Oh boy,
gotta love Dory.
Oh man,
cutting Dory. Dory's a cutter.
This is some bad news for me. I have one of my favorite shirts is emblazoned with the American flag, but apparently, according to the U.S. flag code, the flag should never be used as wearing apparel, bedding, or drapery. And no part of the flag should ever be used as a costume or athletic uniform. I wonder if they mean that as in like an actual flag instead of the pattern. Because how do you distinguish? Is the pattern the flag or is it just emblematic of the flag? To me, I think a flag is produced as a flag and they're saying don't wear that as like a cape or like sew that onto your shirt.
So I shouldn't be wearing it as a cape right now?
No, I really – you should like be wearing –
That was going to be my Halloween costume. David S. American
Stop
flag.
Stop wearing nothing but the American flag as a diaper.
I'm going to be David S. – I'm going to be David S. Skulls. I'm going to be – what's opposite of pumpkin? I'm going to be David S. something else for
what's
Halloween.
The opposite of a pumpkin? Skulls.
I'm going to be David S. Hearts for Halloween.
Ooh. Little Cupid.
David S. Lonely Town for Halloween. Hey, do you know the Gateway Arch in St. Louis? That big arch, that big white arch in St. Louis? That thing they built for the World's Fair, that Stargate? It's as wide at its base as it is tall. It's 630 feet tall, and it's also 630 feet wide at its base.
What an architectural marvel.
Yeah, isn't that wild? So it's almost like a circle.
Yeah.
In theory.
In theory.
It's an arch,
but... We don't see below the surface,
but...
It could keep going.
It's as wide, you know, I mean, it's as tall as it is wide. It's like a diamond or a triangle, I guess. It'd be a square, technically, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how it works?
I think so. I'm no...
It's a square?
I'm no archaeologist.
Look, guys, I've never been to St. Louis.
I've never been either.
I've never hung out with... Food. I like Nelly, and that's where he's from.
Oh, how do you feel about the St. Lunatics?
Hey, man, you know what? What's that? You got to shake your tail feather, like that song from Bad Boys 2.
Oh, yeah, the tail feather song. I prefer the tip drill one where Nelly uses a credit card to swipe a booty.
I love it. I love Nelly. Nelly's amazing. He's almost as great as Ludacris.
He's really... Yeah, I think I prefer Ludacris to Nelly.
Ludacris. You know what's ludicrous? The inventor of the Pringles can, Frederick Bauer, had his ashes buried in one.
I wish it was
one.
Tommy Pringles.
He had his ashes buried in one.
Did he?
Yep, Frederick Bauer had
that's
his ashes
dumb.
Buried in a Pringles.
Frederick, that's a dumb way to go.
Come on, guy. Like,
sorry. Sorry to your family, but that's bad.
It was a gold Pringles can.
Oh, that's cooler.
It was a Trump gold Pringles can.
People tell me I have the best Pringles.
Pringles, people.
This can was made.
Frederick makes very good chips. He's the best at making
China.
Chips. He's the best at making
it's a Chinese
chip
can.
Wafers. It's not necessarily a potato chip. It's a potato wafer.
I have the best cans.
It's a potato product. So funny. Oh, did you say bananas at one point?
I don't think so.
Well, China. Speaking of China.
China has banned live streams of people eating bananas in a seductive fashion. You cannot live stream eating a banana in China because they find it seductive.
Well, there goes our plans.
There goes my plan
to be a superstar in China.
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing?
Guess I have to return all these bananas to the banana store.
Well, I was going to literally start up. Now that this podcast is canceled, I was going to start up another podcast called Seductively Eating Bananas.
Called Manners versus Nanners. Yeah, I was I'm real bummed. I was I thought this is like my chance to finally become sort of like an international fruit munching icon. But I guess Brotassium will have to wait. So, there you have it.
You don't eat bananas.
Don't eat bananas on the internet in China. Eat them otherwise. Like, well, not too many. There's a lot of sugar in bananas, so don't eat too many, guys. Unless you are a kid in Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves, and you are having some sort of anaphylactic shock because your body has enough potassium in it. That's how I learned that bananas have potassium.
What?
Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
One of the kids is having like an allergic reaction, and he needs potassium, so they feed him a banana.
And Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
I've never seen that one. I only seen the first two. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
And Honey, We Blew Up the Baby.
And Honey, We Blew Up the Baby.
Honey, We Blew Up the Baby is the one I saw first, actually.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is such a good movie. How have they not done that again?
Oh, don't put that in the world. Like, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Like, they're gonna do that. They're going to do reboots of all the John Hughes movies. Yeah. It's bad. It's bad.
Well, you can't reboot Ferris Bueller because that would all his day off would blow up on the internet and it would be trending. And
yeah, it's just
would,
it's
it
just him avoiding getting Snapchatted.
Yeah, it would be that. That would I mean, Ferris Bueller could never be made today.
Couldn't it?
No, not successfully.
It'd just be like him taking his dad's hoverboard out.
Yeah, it'd be like him staying at home and having a house party indoors.
Yeah.
Weird.
Him wild just live streaming stuff. Eating bananas on
live streaming
Chinese
eating
Twitch.
Bananas. So we mentioned in the beginning of the show, the girl who made a girl made by Sally Grossart, I believe was her name.
Yeah, Sally Grossart. We may be going away, but you can have a piece of us forever by printing out these amazing
paper
dolls.
Yeah, and you go to wepaperpeople.co.uk, WEEPAPER.
Like tiny, like,
yep.
Oh, look at the wee paper people.
Paper people.
Oh, Jesus.
WEEPAPERPEOPLE.CO.UK, and you can find some awesome podcast cutouts that Sally made years ago.
Yeah.
And they're really cool.
So check those out. And yeah, guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I guess we can let's start wrapping up and say our thank yous.
Yeah.
You know what? But this, I wanted to do this. I'm gonna let's read through. We want to thank everybody who's ever listened to the show and tweeted at us and liked this and all that. And we want to thank all the guests who've done the show. So let's start with our first guest, and let's go through and read our guests. Let's read all of the guests.
All right, sure.
Okay, ready? Ben Glebe.
Jeff Dye.
Andrew Santino.
Greg Barrett.
April Richardson.
John Schnepp.
Matt Bronger.
Scott Porter.
Toby Morse.
Louis Peitzman.
Andy Kozel.
Sam Levine.
Clark Duke.
Yasser Lester.
Jake Weissman.
Brent Tobler.
Jay Larson.
Jonathan Sadowski.
Tom Sibley.
Allie Maynard.
Nick Rutherford.
Dave Holmes.
Joel Stein.
Ryan Sickler.
Danny Lobel.
Susanna Hoffs.
Cole Stratton.
Chris Gore.
Matt Kirshen.
Matt Cohen.
Jackie Cashin.
Andrew W. UK. Motherfucking K.
Goddamn, I love Andrew W.K. Jessica Chobot.
Jade Catapretta.
Duncan Birmingham.
Evan Dixon.
Bobak Ferdowsi.
Julianne Smolinski.
David Krumholtz and Jason Ritter.
Joel David Moore.
Mike Burns.
Bonus episode with Andy Kozel.
Tyler Labine.
April Richardson again.
Stephen Byrne.
Shane Nickerson and Andy Kozel.
Matt Knudsen.
Kirk Fox and Rhett Reese.
Roger Black and Wacko O'Brien.
Dave Waite.
Bria Grant.
Cameron Gibo and Kale Anonymous.
Omar Dorsey.
Christian Spicer.
Jay Duplass.
Brady Matthews.
Seth Green.
Henry Rollins. Great episode.
Henry Rollins was a fun episode. Thank you, Henry. Kristen Renton.
Greg Wallach.
Alex Ross Perry.
Jacob Soboroff.
Josh Adam Myers.
Clark Wolf.
Hey, Dave Ross.
Hey, Zachary Levi.
Hey, James Planka.
Pianka.
Pianka. Hey, James Pianka.
Andy Haynes.
Hey, our number 88 episode was a year in review.
Adina Porter.
Jim O'Hare.
Tim Matheson.
Joe Sib.
Jocko Sims.
Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi.
You nailed it.
I did.
Rachel Skarstein.
Hey, Rosalind Ann.
Adrian Martinez.
Dominic Sherwood.
Allison Rosen.
Mark Pellegrino and Daniel Van Kirk.
Christopher Triumph and Matt. Last name. Not given, because it doesn't show on iTunes.
It doesn't show on iTunes.
Wait, why don't you press that little I button right there?
There we go. Oh, Matt Kirshen and Christopher Triumph. Thank you, Matt, again for doing that. Maud Garrett.
Scott Porter again.
Nate Craig.
Shane Mouse.
Hey, Josh McCuga and Duncan Birmingham.
Kyle Newman and
Andy Haynes.
Joey King.
Andy Haynes, Joey King, yep. Gabby Conti and Graham K.
Claire Grant.
Hey, Danielle and Razzle again.
Rob Fee.
Tim McGovern.
Dito Montiel.
Gray Drake and Kyle Newman.
Jason Dundas.
Megatrent.
Jerry Ferrara.
Paul Shear.
That's episode 100. Dave Yaroveski.
Ed Skrine and Lone Charbonneau.
Andy Peters.
Andy Haynes and Luke Curling.
You and me and Tom Cruise. Oh,
I love that episode.
That was an amazing ep.
Hey, my buddy Tony Revolori.
Chris Murray.
Justin Hires.
Brock Wilbur.
Hey, surprise guest. I think that was also another one of our own, right?
I think so. I'm guessing so.
I think so.
Unless it was just, maybe it was Jai Courtney.
It was. Hey, Catherine Hardwick.
Wheeler Walker Jr.
Christy Stratton.
David Bleh.
Gabriel Lopez.
Katie Colleton and Kate Lambert.
Brandon Routh.
Jamie Lee.
Falk Henschel.
Jonathan Abel.
Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick.
Yvette Nicole Brown.
Brittany Furlon.
The Oscar/Leap Year Spectacular.
Jade Hasune.
Violet Bean.
Jamie King.
Catherine McNamara.
Robert Boudreau.
Stephanie Beatrice.
Steve Agee.
Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely.
Nick Reiner and Matt Ellisifun.
Andre Vermeulen.
Adam Shankman.
Salima Masakala.
Glenn Powell.
John M. Chu.
Will Wheaton.
Zachary Levi.
Julian Dennison.
Logan Browning.
David Huntsberger.
Us again.
Hey, Matt Cohen returns.
Art Parkinson.
Eddie Gathegi.
Graham Elwood.
Hey, Amber Coney.
Oliver Trevina.
Simon Barrett.
Michael Rosenbaum.
Bill Wheeler.
Melanie Chandra.
Kyle Carroza.
Brian Husky.
Brian Husky. Those were all of our... We just listed every episode we've had, ladies and gentlemen. And Dan, this has been fun. I really want to thank you guys, and I want to thank everybody who's listening to this. And we're getting dropped from Nerdist. There has been talk, Dan and I, about maybe doing something, maybe not. We'll see.
We'll keep you posted regardless.
We appreciate
the best way to find us there is to keep your eye on @TWL Podcast.
Yep.
We're also on Facebook, Today We Learn, Razzle and Dan. You can also still send us emails at todaywelearnpodcast@gmail.com.
We're going to keep all those accounts set up just because, you know, we appreciate the love you guys have given us over the last 3 years. And this podcast has – if it wasn't for this podcast, I wouldn't be where I am. I mean, I'm not successful by any means, but – in the sense of the friends that I have right now, the people that I'm hanging out with, everything that I have creatively in my life right now is because you guys have supported this podcast and we've had a really fun time doing this. I've met so many fun friends and acquaintances and people by doing this podcast, and I've done a lot of cool things because of this, and I've met a lot of cool people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank – it's all because of you listeners for giving us a show. If you weren't listening to the show, we wouldn't have had a show to do. And they wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have had a show I wouldn't have had people wanting to come in and talk to you guys.
Exactly. So, folks, thank you so much to everyone who took the time to listen, who took the time to comment.
Yeah.
Thank you to Nerdist for having us on for these past 3 years.
We really appreciate the opportunity
to do this weird, wonderful little podcast. Thank you to Aristotle in particular.
Aristotle. Thank you to Aristotle. Thank you to Katie Levine for you know, fighting for us and keeping us on as long as we could. And, you know, if it wasn't for Nerdist, we wouldn't have had a place to do this show. So we appreciate them giving us a chance for 3 years. And you know, that's the nature of the business. You know, when you're not, you know, in the end, when you're not profitable, you got to cut your loose ties, and they're, you know, they're cutting us free, and we appreciate them for keeping us on the string for this long. And you know, that's how things work in this business, you know.
So, Razzle, where can people find you since they won't be coming here every Monday anymore?
Yeah. So you guys won't be following – you won't be hearing my voice every Monday as of now. You can find me on Twitter, at my name is Razzle, and the number 2. You can follow me on Instagram, at my name is Razzle. I'm on Snapchat, at my name is Razzle. You can also continue sending us emails. On the emails that you have, you can follow my other podcast, which is going to be coming out. I got a new podcast with Kyle Newman called The Franchise that you guys have heard about. We have a new season. We're tackling the Harry Potter films.
Oh, so good.
That will be releasing on howl.fm middle of November. So,
fantastic.
So do that. And, you know, just follow me on Twitter and all of that, and keep posting, keep looking out for the future of what I'm doing and the future of this podcast, possibly. Dan, awesome. What about you?
Folks, you can find me on most social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, etc., at OsteoFerocious. You can find me on Facebook. I have a fan page there, Dan Casey. Go check it out there. I try to post all my stuff there. And you can also find me every week on Nerdist.com. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Go back and listen to some of your favorite episodes if you haven't listened in a while. There's some real good ones in there. I would be impressed if you've listened to all 157 plus, because that's a lot. That's a lot of content.
It's a lot of episodes. And if you're just tuning in, if you've just joined us the last year and a half or whatever, go back and start over and listen to those and listen to how we've grown and listen to how friendships brew and facts get, you know, talked about.
Yeah, and please excuse the audio quality on the very first episode.
Yeah.
We didn't have Aristotle with us.
We didn't have him with us. But
guys, thank you again.
Appreciate everything,
really appreciate
guys.
It. Hope you learned something.
As always,
today I learned we're going to miss you guys.
Thank you, Aristotle. Thank you, audience. Thank you, guests. Thank you, Nerdists. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Razzle.
You're very welcome. All righty, guys. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.